Welcome to Polykill's Off-Kilter Podcast, a show without a topic. Pull up a seat at the bar and share your best story with your hosts and fellow barflies, Jake and Travis.
Hello and welcome once again to yet another Off-Kilter Podcast. It's the Polykill way of sharing stories with you that are not quite video game related. It's the way we do it.
Yeah, this is just for us to shoot the breeze about whatever we kind of want to shoot the breeze about. And a lot of that involves talking to you and see if you get some funny stories or anecdotes to share with us. And then we'll share them with however many people listen to the podcast.
And at the end of the last episode, we did a little something new where we beckoned for submissions about a topic ahead of time. So we ask you to share your movie or cinema or theater watching experiences, anything about movies at all, really, or moving.
Right. Yeah. I added that in because I was really drunk and I thought it'd be funny if I said we're moving.
And we actually got a story.
We actually got a moving story. So
a really good one too.
And not moving, like emotionally moving, because I don't really give a shit about that. But actually like relocation.
It's true.
Yeah.
And so we did get some stories regarding the movies and the movings and the theaters and the theatoire. I will begin by sharing one. Let's take turns sharing one.
Let's do it.
I'll do one. I'll start the first one. We have two submitted by one guy. We'll go ahead and admit that we're no behemoth when it comes to submissions. A lot of ours come from one or two people. But hey, they're good people.
We like them.
This comes from Miles McGinnis of Flock of Nerds.
Flock of Nerds.
He has titled this one, Waiting for Superman. Miles writes, so I make it a point to go to as many films as possible during the Toronto International Film Festival. And when I was younger, I used to try and get celebrities to sign different Magic the Gathering cards after the screenings. I bought tickets to go see a documentary called Waiting for Superman.
It's about teachers, right?
I don't know.
I think it's about teachers.
But this was in either 2009 or 2010. The film was about the issues of the U.S. education system.
There you go.
Which sounded interesting, but I got the tickets because one of the producers of the film was announced as attending. That producer, Bill Gates.
Get out!
Sure enough, he showed up and did a Q&A after the movie. As he was answering his last question... As he was answering his last question, I slipped outside to where the back exit of the theater was in hopes of scoring a coveted Bill Gates autograph on my Judge Foil magic card, Stroke of Genius. Stroke of Genius was in quotation marks. I guess maybe you have to be familiar with foil magic cards to know that's maybe the title of it.
I would assume it is.
But trying to get that signature on that card.
Yeah.
So I get outside and there is already a huge crowd. I shove myself through the crowd and hold my hand out with the card as Mr. Gates is passing by. Underneath of the card, in my hand, I was holding the plastic sleeve for the card. He grabs the sleeve too. Gates chuckles, signs the sleeve of the card instead of the card, then hands it back to me. As he continues on to his limo, some guy on the other side of the crowd yells, Mr. Gates! I've been waiting for you all day! Please, can I have your signature? Without even looking over, Bill Gates smugly says, well, that was a mistake, then gets into his limo and drives off.
Whoa.
Now I can put whatever I want in the sleeve, and it looks like Bill Gates signed it. And he actually attached a picture, which we'll overlay here on the video, but how cool is that? Now it doesn't matter what you have, Bill Gates signed it. Because the sleeve got signed.
That was awesome.
And the fact that he signed the thing for Miles,
yeah,
and then regretted it immediately because somebody else wanted something else signed.
That's hilarious.
Would you feel good or embarrassed that you got a regretful autograph from Bill Gates? He signed and he's like, ah, fuck, that was a mistake.
I feel like I would have won in that scenario, so I think I would feel good about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's Bill Gates.
Yeah, you just trumped Bill Gates.
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
And also, it's like you signed the sleeve on purpose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, is that a dick move, Bill Gates?
It feels a little dickish.
But he still signed something. Like, he didn't sign anything for anybody else, so
right.
Maybe it's okay.
Right, man.
That's interesting.
I ain't knocking the man. I don't know his motives.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna live his head.
Yeah. That was loosely affiliated with movies. A movie film festival.
Yeah, it's good.
This happened.
That's good. That's a good story. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and take this other one that was submitted by the same gentleman from Flock of Nerds. And this one's called Almost Famous, is the title of this one. And it goes like this. When I was in my last year of high school, my friends and I would routinely drink heavily on a Friday night. We kept overdoing it and pushing ourselves week after week. We were a healthy bunch, One Friday night, we bunked off our last two classes to down a bottle of Smirnoff and go see Almost Famous at a mall in downtown Toronto.
Have you seen Almost Famous?
Ironically, no. Like, it feels like something that I should see, being a fan of music. I feel like it caters very specifically to that Rolling Stone kind of sphere of influence, and that's just not my scene necessarily, as you all know. So I think that may be why I've steered away from it.
Okay.
All right. So after chugging the vodka, we were ready to hit the subway with Colt 45s in our bags. Johnny 40 hands, here we come. That's when we noticed one friend was already pretty rough as he had vomited all over the subway car, and we had to make haste before we were caught.
No bueno.
Eventually, the three of us made it to the theater, bought our tickets, and started drinking 40s in the cinema before the feature begun. The theater was mostly empty, so we weren't really bothering anyone yet. The friend who lost it on the subway started hitting the 40, which was probably not the best idea. I agree. I mean, puke and rally all you can, but if you're already vomiting, I don't know. That's just not my thing. He lost it again. This time he puked on the seats right in front of us.
Oh, what? Sticky.
He then ran into the washroom, and my other friends went to help him. The lights dimmed, and the trailer started. This sounds like when the fun begins. Two older ladies came in late and sat right in front of me in the violated seats.
Poor gals.
I was not exactly sober, so I thought if I didn't make a sound, they'd never figure out.
They'll never find me here.
Anything to do with it. It took a minute before one of them said,
"What's that smell? It smells like someone's innards."
The other said, "Is that..."
It is.
They looked at me. I said nothing, just stared straight ahead at the screen. Smart move.
Yeah.
Smart move.
You're not guilty.
They left to go get mall security, and I ran to the bathroom to find one of my friends had just booked it, and my sloppy friend was barely awake. I grabbed my sloppy friend to leave, and as soon as I opened the door to the washroom, I see mall security and a lady walk into the theater. As the door closes behind them, we book it and make it to the subway. We go our separate ways. I stop at a burger place for dinner and make my way home. When I get home, I check the time, and it's just after 5 p.m.
Wow.
I realize all of this happened in around 2 hours as my parents commended me for not staying out too late on a Friday night.
Such a good boy.
Love it.
Miles is such a good boy.
Fantastic. So that's a great story. You know, when we solicited stories for movies, I had no idea where this was going to go.
No, I
don't have any great stories about attending movies or anything like that. It's certainly nothing that would live up to the hype of this. I mean, this is fantastic.
I mean, I've occasionally slipped a flask in a pocket when going to an event, but not necessarily a movie.
Yeah,
movies are expensive. I tend to want to go with a clear mind.
Sure,
depends on the film though and the friends.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of theaters now you can buy a beer in anyway. Stuff
yeah.
like that. That's sort of mitigated. But you mean. I went to see a movie with some friends, some mutual friends of ours, and I had just gotten a new job, so we were sort of celebrating, and the other gentleman just kept buying me beers. And we watched a horror movie, and I just sort of, I don't know, I found it not scary at all. Like, everyone else was sort of jumping and screaming.
Because you were
like,
drinking liquid courage.
That was fine. That was a very fun experience, watching a horror movie slightly lit.
You had that liquid courage piping through you, though. You're not afraid of anything.
Oh, it was good. It was fun.
Well, before we get too into any movie topics...
Yeah, we got another story here.
No, we'll get to that too.
Have
you ever had... Like, what are some moments where you've had some things signed? And how awkward were those? Just touching back on that first story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know that I've ever had anything signed in person, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever solicited that. I'm too much of a coward to actually go up to someone's like, hey, can you sign this? I've never bought, like, a pass to a con or a backstage pass or anything that would allow for such... I don't think I've ever gone to the trouble.
Well,
I mean, I've solicited through the mail and had some success there, but
really?
never live in person. Yeah.
No, what have you done through the mail?
Well, this was back in my young, sports card collecting days. I would, get the address of these athletes from these like books and, little binders that they would sell. Like, here, you can write Nolan Ryan or you can write Bo Jackson or whatever. I sent some stuff off to random people. But I got the one that I remember the most was Warren Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Who was a quarterback for the Houston Oilers back in the day. I think he went on the Vikings after that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I sent him a card and asked him to sign it. And I got back this big manila envelope. And it was a... It had a letter. and it's like, you know, thank you for writing me. I mean, I assumed it was typed. It was probably done by PR, but it was a thank you for writing me. I don't want to sign your card because I'm afraid it would devalue it, which I thought was preposterous, but whatever. Probably because he just wasn't in the office that day.
Piece of paper, man.
Piece of paper.
It'll boost the value of this piece of paper.
But anyway, so he sent the card back, but also sent me a black and white 8x10, like of him, that was signed.
Oh, so yeah, he wasn't in the office that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a super sweet thing.
Office. We say office like he's got a fucking office.
I mean, I'm sure they got some kind of office. But that was, I think that's, you know, I had a few other autographs, you know, in the past. John Smoltz autograph.
Really?
Yeah. I think Sparky Lyle. I don't know if you know who that is.
I sure don't.
He was a pitcher for the Braves, like back in the 60s.
Oh.
Yeah. Some random shit like that, but nothing I would consider fantastic autograph stories. I mean, the Warren Moon was cool because it stuck out to me.
But, yeah, I have a couple. They're not great stories, but I did like, I went to a band festival, Lunatic Luau, and they had, you know, it was an open autograph line. You didn't have to have a special pass, and I went through there and got like Taproot signature because somebody was in line.
Nice. So, yeah. He's like, yeah.
When I was a kid, close to where I live was the race team for Kodak, the number 4 car, Sterling Marlin drove and Ernie Irvin. And, by the time, you know, I was wanting autographs of things, it was Jimmy Spencer. was the race car driver, and he doesn't really stand out because he wasn't very good, I guess, but
Jimmy was a race car driver.
Yeah. They had these little, they like handed out these flyers, and it had, you know, Jimmy in front of the car and everything, and being a 10-year-old kid, I didn't want to hold it with this long line, so I like folded it up and stuck it in my pocket until I got up there, and then I handed it to him to sign it, and he was like, "Shouldn't fold these up, kid." And just signed his name on it and handed it back to me. And I just walked out and just threw it in the trash. I was like, he was so rude to me. It kind of hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
I was like, who gives a fuck if I folded it? Just sign it.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I handed him my foreskin or something to sign.
You shouldn't fold it up like that.
Don't fold my image and put it in your pocket. You drive race cars. Shut up. So, anyway, that made me mad.
Yeah,
I see that. But yeah, other than that, well, I guess another one in Little League, we were treated to go to the local, it's called the Appalachian League, but it's like a local AAA league.
Yeah.
You know, we won our division, so we got to go, and they, you know, the local AAA team would run out to their spots, and then the announcer would call our names, and we would run out to our positions beside them.
Neat.
Which is really cool for kids or whatever. And we all had baseballs to get them to sign. And I didn't know my guy's name. I followed him in the newspaper. Mm. Like, he was actually decent. His name was Manny Lutz, Lutz. But I thought it was Lutz.
Of course.
So I was like, Mr. Lutz, glad to meet you. And he was like, it's Lutz. Like, in this, you know, deep man voice.
Yeah.
He was cool about it, but I was still embarrassed. I mean, he signed the ball and was like, cool, he shook my hand. He's like, it's Lutz. I was like, I'm sorry, Mr. Lutz. I'm Lutz. But yeah,
that's cool.
It's autograph stories, man.
Yeah.
Movie stories. Mm-hmm. So you said you've never gone to a theater and had an event take place?
Well, I mean, nothing super memorable. They're actually, like, nothing nearly as fun and entertaining as vomiting into a seat.
No.
But,
no, can't beat that.
I guess probably one of the first, I guess, true movie stories I would have would be, it was 2005. It was May 2005. I don't remember the actual date.
It's oddly specific.
Well, it was the release of Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, it's one of the greatest movies ever made.
That's not. But it's a good one. Mm. It's okay. My wife and I were just sort of becoming friends and sort of moving into that space where we didn't like have a real good definition on what a relationship was.
But you brought a blanket to the theater.
It was Star Wars, and all of our friends then and now are super into Star Wars and quite nerdy about it. So everyone dressed up.
As a Star Wars character?
Yeah.
Oh.
From Extended Universe.
Did people do that this past few years for Star Wars movies? I didn't see a bunch of that.
I saw some opening night of Rogue One.
Cool. Yeah,
there was some of that. I don't know that I noticed that for Force Awakens. But anyway, at the time, you know, there's some Darth Vader, some random Sith, there was some Mandalorians in our group. Anyway, that was one of the first experiences that, I guess, big things, because it was a big group of us. We got a picture in the local paper and everything. Yeah, so I mean, that was kind of neat.
What was the first movie you saw in a theater?
I don't remember. I've actually tried to bring this back, because I would like to know, but I don't know.
I remember my first movie.
Hold on. Was it Free Willy?
No.
Okay.
Free Willy was what, 93?
I don't know.
No. No. My first movie, Mind Press You.
No. Okay. Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan.
Oh, come on.
All right,
just give me a minute. So, as a lad, my folks didn't take me to the theater. It just didn't happen. I was 5 and they were 70. Like, it wasn't a thing that happened.
Sure.
So, but my buddy, his parents, probably not good parents, but they would take him to see whatever movies were that they wanted to see at the theater. And I remember I was in kindergarten.
Okay.
And nice. There was a new Jean-Claude Van Damme movie out, Lionheart. And I went to see that. Boy, was I traumatized. Like, holy shit. Like, yeah. The first few scenes, just guys getting shot in the head out of Jeeps. And I was like, this rap. Like, this was cool. And I remember my mom and dad didn't really even know what the movie was like. Lionheart, Lion King, whatever. Go have fun. And they were like, how was the movie? And I was like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, it was crazy.
It was nuts. Fantastic.
Yeah. I cut my teeth on that.
That's baller.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally baller.
I did have a strange date once.
Oh?
Yeah, it's not funny as it is just slightly tragic.
Ooh.
But I was in high school. I had a car. I had a license. And there was
you were popular.
There was a young gal at a neighboring school who was a year younger than me, didn't have her license. Mm. And we had arranged a movie date. And her mom said it would be fine if I took her to the movies.
Okay.
And it was on a weekend. And I was like, well, this is just fantastic.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at home, I get all spruced up. I go head to toe and Axe body spray. And I got my gel on. And I'm dapper, you know. Got my pink polo on. You know, it's 2001. You know, looking good.
Yeah,
you know,
boy.
Got my highlighted tips. You know. Check the mirror a few hundred times on the way in.
Okay.
And she said... I was like, you want me to just pick up your place? And she goes, actually, just pick me up at the high school. And this was a Friday night.
All right.
And I said, oh, okay. So I guess she either, like, maybe that's closer to, like, maybe that's just a convenient spot for her mom to drop her off. Maybe they live really far out. Or maybe she was in some after-school program, and it's cool if I just pick her up right after school.
There you go. Perfectly rational ideas.
Yeah. So I'm gussied pretty good. And dropped by the school around... you know, I was supposed to pick her up at 6:30. I think movie was at like 7:30. You know, we got curfews. They're not staying out too late, right? So, you know, earlier play times. And I go to pick her up, and she's in her fucking softball uniform. Yeah.
Oh.
And she stinks like ass. This is the stinkiness. I didn't know girls could stink. That was the first moment, because I wasn't raised with a sister my age. You know, the girls were just precious to
pristine,
me.
Pristine, yeah.
This girl fucking smelled like a man in a locker room. I was like, what the hell? It was crazy. And the whole movie, that was all I could do was smell it. I could just smell her BO. And she's a cute gal, you know. But just right after softball practice, just, let's go on a date. And like grabbed my hand and put it on her leg. And I was like, oh, I don't know about this. It feels sandy. Actually, I need to bring my hand back over to my lap.
Has okay. Less infield on it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was a memorable experience. I don't even remember what movie we saw, but I just remember the whole time wondering how to get out of there.
Yeah, that's tragic.
Yeah, she smelled. Yeah, as anyone would after a softball practice.
Correct.
That you didn't. You obviously didn't take off your uniform and shower.
Wow.
Yeah.
How would you not shower before a date in general?
Yeah, with Travis. I mean, I have my highlighted tips. I have my rusted out 91 Cavalier. You know, you don't mess with me.
No.
Okay.
You probably had a cassette player in there and everything.
Yeah. I only called her back like 4 times after that, you know, so.
Nice.
In terms of going to see movies, things are pretty normal on my front. Now, in terms of enjoying movies, I do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We've actually gone to see more, we've seen more movies together recently than I think we have since we've known each other.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean.
Three, at least. John Wick.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's three, and that's in the last month or so.
True. True story.
Yeah.
True story, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I love going to the movies. And, you know, I would, you know, a lot of people prefer watch a movie at home. Like, here's a rationalization I've never understood. And maybe someone could explain it to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just these people aren't people. But, well, I see this movie. I'll just wait till it comes to home video. I'll just wait and rent it. I'm like, you're paying the same amount. Why not just see it now?
But you can see it as many times as you want if you own it.
Not if you rent it.
Oh, renting it.
You can see more. But I don't know. I just don't understand the rationalization of waiting until it's on a physical media. And I would much rather see something in the theater anyway. There are some experiences that I can wait, like if I need to choose between it and something else. Like if there's like a historical drama that says like epic war scenes and grand vistas and big wide shots, I want to see that in the theater. But if it's like an intimate drama about like a something like that, I'm like I don't know.
Somebody marries a whale.
Yeah, I can see that on I can rent that or wait till it comes to Netflix
or just or never watch it ever.
That too.
Yeah.
But like some experiences, like A Ghost in the Shell or like John Wick, where it's just loud and in your face and lots of colors and pulsing lights and thumping beats, I want to see that in the theater.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty selective about my theater watching just because it's expensive. We got
a good deal.
We did. Tuesday
nights, $6.
$6, that's good.
You can't beat that.
Can't beat it. But
I mean,
still,
you could.
I still think it's overpriced. Like, you go in there and it's like $13 for a drink and popcorn. And it's kind of ridiculous.
I get it.
And
I just like it, though. It's like a hobby for me.
Well, there's that. But then, you think about our buddy Josh, who has this nice setup. And it's like, I can watch as many movies as I want there. I mean, it's a little bit of a drive or whatever. But I don't know. That's just as good to me. I know it's probably not the same thing. But to me, it's just as good to me. It's cheaper. I can watch all I want. I don't have to be around people I don't like. Because a lot of movie watching experiences I've had have been ruined by people in the same theater.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get with those. You pay a lot of money. You're there with a group of people. It could be a shitty experience.
Yeah, it's true. You're not wrong. But I just love... What I love is just a room. A big room with a big screen. And more watts pulsing through more speakers than I'll ever have. It's just dedicated just to watching a movie. I really like that.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just I think it's overpriced.
Yeah. I'll support it. I like movies.
I like movies. I'm not saying I don't like movies. Yeah. I just don't like being gouged to death.
Yeah.
Movies that you tend to watch in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
You said loud, booming.
Big.
Marvel would be an example.
Yeah, Marvel, Star Wars,
of course.
Yeah. Star Trek, so I watch those in theaters.
Yeah, anything that's supposed to have some action, epic action.
Right.
What about animated movies?
I've seen a few.
Yeah,
that's in a few. Especially like when they're in 3D.
You're much more of a movie watcher than me.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I tend to watch as much as I can, get time in to watch. I like trying to experiment with different types of movies and trying to, watch things a little bit outside the box from time to time. I've gotten less that way over the last few years just because my time constraints are more. But like when I was in my mid-20s, man, I'd watch anything. It wouldn't matter. Just like, let me see it. Let me watch it. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm not that way. I think a lot of it, movies, whether I like the movie or not, I get restless.
Ah, okay.
And I can't.
You get fidgety?
Yeah, I do. I always got to be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I really started to like shows like Parks and Rec or The Simpsons. It's like, especially without commercials, 20 minutes, I'm done. I can move on. I took it in. I can go do something else.
Mm.
Some shows now are like full hour or hour and a half for some episodes. I don't know. It's too much. I can't do it. I gotta be doing something else.
Like, certain movie experiences I really enjoy, like a horror movie with a large group of people. I love that. I love the energy that you get in a room full of, 200 people all being scared at the same time. Or a good comedy where everyone's actually enjoying themselves and being in a room with all that, humor and all that energy. I enjoy just observing that, honestly.
Yeah, scary movies, in my experience, are usually scarier in the theater.
Yeah.
Even with the group of people that you're with, and it might be heightened by their reactions as well. Like I remember,
that always helps.
I remember watching the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake years ago in a theater, and I think it got panned. But man, the theater I thought was great. It was such a great experience. In the very beginning, they they do the whole thing where it's like it might be real or whatever, and it's like this based on a true story, and it has this white background, and then out of nowhere, while they're showing like who's in the movie, there's like a chainsaw, and it goes up and like rips the curtain to like start the movie,
nice,
and it shows blood splattering. And it scared the people in front of me who had popcorn. So they jumped and their popcorn flew up. And when it flew up and I saw the blood flow up and it, like, the popcorn hit me, I freaked the fuck out. Like, I thought the blood was on me.
That's awesome.
And it was a surreal experience. And I don't, you know, you can't get that unless you're in a theater. So,
right.
Yeah, I saw, like, The Descent there and The Grudge there. And those are movies that I talked up to people. I'm like, these movies, scary. They're so scary, you got to see them.
And then you watch them at home.
Yeah, and it's not the same experience.
Because you're distracted. You know, you got a light, or you got a cat, or you got a kid.
It's like, I mean, years ago, it was like this big in your room. It was like a little square TV.
You don't absorb it, and it doesn't, you know, permeate you. I actually think of another funny movie story. It did not happen to me. I am telling this at least secondhand, but my father-in-law, who is not necessarily a prankster, but if he can figure out a way to get a laugh, he will. But it's when he was fairly young, Rosemary's Baby was playing in the theater. So it'll give you a little bit of a time context. Have you ever seen the movie?
Rosemary's Baby?
Rosemary's Baby.
No, I've not seen that.
Okay. So Rosemary's Baby, it's a classic Roman Polanski film. It stars Mia Farrow. Anyway, I won't spoil the plot in case people who are watching or listening or you ever are watching. Anyway, the little story is about the pregnancy and some weird shit surrounding it. And near the climax, specific part of the movie, my father-in-law sat on the front row during this movie. And what he did not tell anyone, and I guess probably could get away with back then, he smuggled in like a doll, like a baby.
Why would he do this? Had he seen the movie before?
Yeah, he's seen the movie. So he goes back just for funsies at this point.
He doesn't just carry around a doll.
No. I mean, he would for laugh.
Oh, wow, that's
maybe
weird.
But anyway, so like right when something big is happening in the movie, he just throws this baby like straight back into the crowd behind him.
What a lunatic.
Hilarious.
Yeah?
Screams. Hilarious. Oh, yeah. Tons of screams. Got asked to leave. All that good stuff. But yeah.
Asked to leave. Yeah. Did he say, okay, I will?
I'm probably. Okay. Yeah. But it was...
He didn't get United out of there?
No. Oh. No. Did not get reaccommodated. But yeah, it was... that's a funny movie. Theater.
That's a funny movie.
Theater.
Cool.
It's actually a movie that actually... holds up a little bit. I mean, there's parts of it that are kind of laughable now, but just because there's been so much exposure to some of that material. But it's one of those classic movies that, it's not a movie that's intended to give you jump scares or anything like that. It's just one of those a little bit more plotting, psychological, mixed with a little bit of, like, supernatural horror that I think actually works really well. You know, like the original Omen. Have you ever seen that?
No, I've not seen the original.
Gregory Peck. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good horror movie. Like the OG one, not the one from 2006. That one was just okay.
It came out on 666.
It did.
I remember that.
How long did they plan that? I mean, it had to be like, all right, guys, in 30 years, it's going to be a 666. We need to make this movie again. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Julia Stiles is in it, I think, or something.
Yeah, Julia Stiles and Liev Schreiber. I forget how, which his name is.
I don't know.
Cotton. We'll call him Cotton from Scream.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's not okay. The first one's good. First one's good. There's like three more, and they get ridiculous after that.
Yeah.
It's about the Antichrist being born.
You're not one for...
surviving.
Since we're speaking of horror movies, yeah. You're not one for comedy movies in general, no?
Not usually. I mean, not standard. If a movie is billed as a comedy, usually I don't think it's that funny.
Recently, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's been very... And I don't know if it's a coming-of-age thing. It could be.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think I like Judd Apatow. I miss the Farrelly Brothers days of comedy. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yeah.
But
I'm not even big on that. I don't know why.
Oh, you're just wrong.
Like, movies that I find funny are comedy, like, inspired. Mm-hmm. Like, Oh Brother Arthur, the one that I come back to over and over again.
That's funny.
Like, it's a little slapstick, but it's just the characters in that movie are so well written and so funny. And there's actually a good story there. But it's just legitimately funny. Like, I watched that movie. I've probably seen it 10 times. And I laugh every time. And usually at the same parts.
Damn, we're in a tight spot.
Yeah, God, it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
Of course, really Pete, look at it.
It's so good.
So good. So good. So well written. And Coen Brothers can occasionally do that well. They don't do it consistently well, but like Burn After Reading, another movie I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, but the Coen Brothers, aside from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, their movies, like, I have fun in the moment, but when they're over, I'm like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like,
that's why
I don't even
know
the movie, but I don't like that. If a movie didn't come through the first time, like, I don't have to watch a movie again. Like, I'm not going to go out and tell people you should watch it. I'm not going to... Like, I thought Burn After Reading was okay at best. Because after I finished watching it, I was like, yeah, there was Brad Pitt dancing, and that was funny. Like, I don't know what the fuck happened to it.
Yeah.
I like, even
a lot
the,
of nothing.
What was it, the Hail Caesar movie that came out that got
banned? Yeah, that one's not great.
Yeah,
that
it's just, weak sauce. I don't know, just a lot of their movies where I'm like, just write a cohesive fucking story.
I fucking love Fargo.
Yeah, see, like, sometimes you're like, that's legit right there. Like, yeah. Do more of that.
No Country for Old Men.
Another
Which movie. Is not a comedy, but there's some funny bits. Tommy Lee Jones is great in that movie.
Tommy Lee Jones is great all the time.
Yeah. Aside from the time he played Two-Face.
It wasn't his fault, was it?
Yeah, he accepted the idea, and he knew it was a Joel Schumacher film.
Was it Schumacher?
Yeah. It was Val Kilmer's Batman.
Oh, that's right.
I like to laugh at movies, and occasionally there are some new comedy movies that I do think is funny, like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I thought was a great movie.
That was okay.
And you were just like...
Mm-hmm. I didn't like it that much. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one that you've been trying to get me to watch that I haven't yet, which is 21 Jump Street. The Jump Street
movies. Movies are silly.
I know, and I've heard good things about them.
Pretty silly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're self-aware. That helps.
Yeah.
It's not a comedy movie that puts its flag and says, we're a comedy movie. It's like, we're a silly movie. Don't like it. They dare you to like it.
Gotcha.
By making fun of it the whole time. Yeah. Nice. It's pretty good. And Ice Cube's in it. He's funny.
Well, also, I'm kind of interested in the new Baywatch movie. That looks funny.
That did look fun.
Yeah.
Some movies can just look fun. And some people... we'll just hate them just because they're called Baywatch.
Yeah.
I'm okay with fun movies, man. Like Power Rangers. A lot of people didn't like it. I had fun.
Fuck them.
It's like a ride at, you know, anywhere in Orlando.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good analogy.
It's just fun. Just get on there and have fun with it. It's not
ride it.
Citizen Kane. It's not...
it's not trying to be Ben-Hur.
It's not a movie we'll talk about in 5 years. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
It's a movie you just go and have fun.
No, because there's going to be six more of them.
That's a good point. You hear they're making like 14 Call of Duty... things. Call of Duty, they're making like a multiverse. Like animated TV shows and full budget action films. They want to emulate the Marvel Universe. It's like, what don't you get about you don't have characters we like?
And what don't you get about like the whole cinematic universe thing is like kind of getting old with a lot of people right now.
Yeah, like Marvel's about the only one that can pull it off, or Star Wars. And that's it.
Like, I
don't care about DC. Batman did it for a little bit. That was fine. Let it go.
Yeah. And here's the thing. We talked about time being a constraint with some of the movies that we watch, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of, it plays into it.
Sure.
I don't have time. Like, the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, I've watched them all. Yeah, I have.
Movies?
Yeah, movies.
But not, the cinematic, obviously, not including the TV shows.
Not, well, most of that. But that's just because I like it. But anyway, the point I'm making is, like, I'm to the point now where I just want to go watch a movie and not have it be connected to eight other things that I don't haven't seen or haven't watched, and I won't fully appreciate this because I haven't, you know, experienced these 10 other things that surround it.
Money, though, man. That's
no, I get it, and it will make money, and people will continue to absorb it because people are hoarders by nature, so they're going to hoard this experience just like they do.
But as much as we hate it, they've done really well with it.
Oh, I'm not doubting that.
Like, you hate it because you know you'll do it. It's like they release, like,
maybe
a new flavor of crack. You're like, ah, damn, that's probably good, though.
Yeah. Some of that Blue Heisenberg stuff.
Yeah.
I know that wasn't crack, but whatever. And I'm not going to talk about the story of the movie anyway, in any way. But what I loved about Logan is that it helped to have some context with these characters that are in there. But you could just walk into that movie, having never seen a Wolverine movie or an X-Men movie, and watch a great movie, and... It's not like, you know in 3 years there's going to be, you know, another continuation of that, and it's going to connect to this three other movies that you haven't seen, and they're going to, you know, do this and that. It's just, it's a good movie that has a self-contained story that is brilliant.
Do you think now that it made money, they're going to find ways to link it, branch off of it, make it something that you have to watch?
I mean, maybe.
That's the reason.
But I will say good luck.
That's the reason, because I haven't...
that's a hard, tough act to follow.
Watched Logan, and it has nothing to do with Logan. I'm sure it's a great movie. People tell me it's a great movie. It looks like a great movie. I was so fucking burnt out on the X-Men universe. All of the... it's been around forever, and I never liked it. Not once.
Yeah, you're not wrong that it's been around forever, but what I'll say is it is not an X-Men movie.
Yeah, and I see that.
At all.
Yeah, I mean, they distance themselves with it in marketing, even. Yeah. It's like... a lot of people probably didn't even know it was. If you were just a casual movie watcher.
I can see that. Because, like, I mean,
it's a movie about a guy named Logan.
Yeah. It's a Western.
Yeah.
It's a dyed-in-the-wool Western.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a couple shots in the trailer of him with his claws out, like, leaping at something. But
yeah.
Those X-Men movies, there's just so fucking many of them.
Yeah, there's a lot. I liked some of them, you know. I liked not all of them, obviously. I like X2. I think that's the best one. The rest of them can pretty much go suck a fatty.
But, you know, not to sound hypocritical, because I'll admit they're all fun movies. They're just as good as the Power Rangers movies. Like, you go there, you watch them, they're fun. And then a couple years goes by and you've completely forgotten about them. But then another one comes out. And then another one comes out. And then another one comes out. And it's like, how fun is it for so... I mean, eventually it's just, fuck it, I don't care.
That bubble's going to burst. The comic book movie bubble will burst soon.
Well, do you think it will? Because what will take its place? Like, something will have to take its place.
Well, let's think about this.
I would love to.
Think about this for a second. So, I think the year was 1999. I don't remember the year the first Spider-Man movie came out, but I know the first X-Men movie was 1999.
It was about the same time.
So, it was around then. All right. Pretty much every year since 1999, the biggest summer blockbuster of that year was a comic book movie. That's, first of all, nuts.
Makes perfect sense, though.
It does make sense, but let's think back before that. What did we get? You know, what was... Well, yeah, exactly. You know,
it's too poor to watch a movie,
though. I mean, I don't know.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, we had a lot of dribble.
I mean, Batman still was around.
Yeah, but it was garbage.
It was garbage, but, I mean...
God. Aside from 1989's Batman.
Yeah, it was garbage, but man, Batman Forever and all those other movies, they got so pushed.
They were pushed. And I think they were ahead of their time, and I think that's why they just sort of sputtered a little bit.
Well, they were kind of campy in a way, too.
Quite. They didn't take themselves terribly seriously. But I just think it's super interesting that, you know, for the better part of 20 years, it's just been comic books that have basically kept the box office
kind
of where it is.
I think there's a good level reason for that, though. I think...
There's a built-in audience for it.
Well, there's a built-in audience, but it's also, like, a generational audience. Like, whatever movies were popular in the 90s, it was, like, Forrest Gump and whatever else. Like, the generations that paid for those films were the age that appealed to, right?
Yeah.
So comic book movies, I mean, it's the perfect middle ground. It's like, me and you can go, our dads know who those people are. They might go watch it. We want to take our kids there because we want our kids to like the heroes that we liked.
Sure.
And it's not an animated movie, so it doesn't ostracize an older audience. Some of the modern aside from Logan and Deadpool, they're pretty friendly for a younger audience. There's a little bit of violence, but it's usually not against other people.
Sure.
The villains are pretty, you know, clear and obvious. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. Like, it's an easy, easy recipe. I don't think they're going to go away, but we're going to continue to be tired of them.
Yeah. I would love to see it shift, though. I mean, like, seeing things like...
Call of Duty.
Jurassic World, though.
That's
like,
fun.
Like, bring that stuff like that back.
Push
that.
Transformers... Like, terrible franchise. I have so much
disdain. Billions of dollars, though.
It does. It prints fucking money.
It does.
They actually have plans for 14 more movies. I know I'm throwing the number 14 around, though, but it's what I read.
That's both stupid.
Why would we want that?
No one does.
And the thing is, they've been making less and less money.
Yeah. The first one, I think, was the biggest one. Well, maybe the second was probably the biggest one. It's usually how it goes. But yeah, I liked the first one. I thought the first one was a good movie.
They're still coming out on top. Like, they're still making $300 million. I mean, they're still making profit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they'll continue to make them. I don't think Michael Bay's doing the next one, though.
No, I think he said this fourth one is his last.
Good. Maybe they can save it then.
But see, what I loved back in the 90s was, like, those Jerry Bruckheimer, Ridley Scott, Tony Scott-style movies where, like, Con Air and The Rock and... I miss good movies like that.
Those were fun.
You know, because they stand on their own as good movies, and then you don't have to have this extensive, you know, backdrop of knowledge and just like, I'm going to go watch Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery break out of The Rock.
Yeah, that's actually gone the way of high budget comedy films is straight to Netflix, you know, because I don't know if it's easier, but there's more fanfare with a continuous Parks and Rec or an Office or stuff like that. That's really taken the place of, you know, probably due to the fact that the cinematic experience is so expensive, a lot of people aren't spending money on the chick flicks. I mean, that still happens around Valentine's Day, but they're not spending money on the
fall-off on the comedy. Crazy. Like, opening weekend, it's like, all right, we made $90 million next week, and then make $3 million. Like, it's a crazy drop-off.
Yeah, if that, yeah.
One thing I was going to say was referencing The Rock and Con Air and Crimson Tide and all those things, which great fucking movies. Mm-hmm. Is I feel like there's a franchise that has sort of been established and is still fairly small, and I hope it kind of stays a little small, and that's John Wick. We referenced John Wick 2. We went and saw that. I saw it 3 times in the theater.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I fucking love John Wick and John Wick 2. A lot of people stayed away from it because of the premise, right? It's like, oh, they killed this puppy and he went and killed them all. That's so stupid. Like,
well, I think that's the beauty of that movie.
It's the beauty, but it's also not... Like, that's not the reason. That's the fucking catalyst, but it's not the reason.
But I think... I mean, the puppy's only part of it, or yeah. whatever, but the simple premise of the movie is, in my opinion, the most brilliant part of that, of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that they don't force long, heavy dialogue. They don't set scenes that make you want to think what's going on. They're not trying to be deep. They're not trying to be artistic in that sense.
It's very insular.
Yeah. But it at the same time, it's not shallow.
Right.
Like, it's almost like Mad Max. Like, how simple was that?
Very simple.
It's like, we're going to go run the truck out here and we're going to bring it back. And we're going to have a lot of shit happen in between. That's basically John Wick. It's like, we're going to piss him off. He's going to kill people.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And there was so much, like, built-in, like, self-referencing mythology in those movies, which was so great because they did it right.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like they were talking over your head. It was very relatable. And if you haven't seen those movies, watch those movies. They're fantastic.
I don't think they'll stay small. I think they're...
I mean, they're obviously going to have to do...
From 1 to 2, it grew quite a bit.
Yeah. They're going to have to do more. But I hope they don't just milk it until it dies, because it's fairly small in scope.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah. Is that the first movie you've seen that many times in a theater?
No. No, I saw The Dark Knight 4 times.
Okay, that was
the Joker one.
Was that Heath Ledger?
Yeah.
And why? Just because of him? Because you love that performance?
I fucking love that movie.
Is that performance...
Yeah.
This is the thing that stands out the most to me. It's the best part
about that movie. Without a doubt. That was the best performance of the mid-2000s, in my opinion.
No,
that,
I agree with you.
And Javier Bardem as Anton Chigurh. Those two performances are the 2000 to 2010 performances, period. For me.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it.
I can't speak with authority on that, but I did like both.
Yeah.
I did like both quite a bit.
Oh, man, I speak with no authority. I'm just creating my own at this point.
I've only seen one movie multiple times in a theater. And that was Ender's Game.
Oh, you're a big fan. I know you like the book.
Love the book. Yeah. I think Orson Scott Card's a lunatic, but I really did like that book. And I thought the adaptation to film wasn't terrible. And I actually read it's the only book that I've read multiple times. I've read the book 3 times. I read the book 3 times in like a year.
That's crazy.
And then watched the movie twice. So I've read the book. Then I, when the movie was getting ready to come out, I read the book real quick, came before the movie came out.
Mm.
Then after the movie came out, it was like another 6 months, I decided I was going to read the sequel to the book. So to brush up, I read the book one more time. Just nice. Before. And it's interesting, there's a couple different ways that universe forks, and I'm kind of getting off on a book tangent real quick. But that universe is really, really, really interesting. And I swear, if Orson Scott Card wasn't such a douche, I'd probably get way more into it. I'm a bit turned off by him now. Ender's Game, I'll cut him some slack, it's pretty good. But it's interesting, like, if you... Not the direct sequel. So he wrote Ender's Game, and then he made some direct sequels that followed Ender's Path.
Okay.
But then he also wrote a second series of novels that happened at the same time. So if you read Ender's Shadow, it's written from the point of view of another student that was there with Ender. So you hear the story from another person you hear about in Ender's Game. You read it from his point of view, and it drastically changes the first book, and it can either break it for you or make it better.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is cool.
That's very cool.
Which is why I think the Enderverse would do well as a show. Almost like a Star Trek, just some sci-fi series, because there's a lot to it and it's fun. But I know Orson Scott Card would have to be involved, and again, I'm not a huge fan
of
him.
Sure,
but man, Ender's Game is good. And
so you saw no other movies multiple times?
No, they're too expensive. I hate it. I'm so turned off by it. Hi, that'll be $18. Would you like popcorn and soda for another $18? Like, bitch, I gotta pay for a date. I ain't got $70 to fucking watch this terrible movie.
I think I have seen movies multiple times. Like, not as high as 4. But like, Inglourious Basterds, I think I saw that at least twice, maybe 3 times in the theater.
When I'm like, no, I've already seen it.
Rogue One, I saw 2 or 3 times. Force Awakens, I saw at least a couple times. Yeah, like I'll go back because I always miss a little something. You know, I always miss something.
Yeah, sure. And in general, I can't rewatch movies, at least not that close together. Of course, it depends on what they are.
Usually, I take a day or two off.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, but even then, it depends on the kind of movie. Like a scary movie, there's no way. Like
it's trigger points. Yeah,
it's exhausting too. Yeah. I mean. Or anything that's dark and heavy, like Schindler's List. Who's going to watch that multiple times? I mean, if you are.
I've seen it once.
That's all you need, right? Yeah.
Honestly, I kind of like to go back and watch it again.
Now? It's been 20 years for you, probably? 15, 10? It's been years.
Probably 12, yeah.
That's long enough.
Yeah.
It's okay. I think it's okay to watch movies over at different periods of your life because you see them differently.
Like, sure.
There's been a lot of movies I've done that with, but, you know, like, I remember watching, you know, going through The Lord of the Rings. And going to when the third Lord of the Rings movie came out, me and Josh.
Best fantasy movie ever made.
Me and a buddy watched the first one and the second one on DVD, and then drove down to the theater, watched the third one, and then I had like nightmares about Elijah Wood forever.
Oh, nice.
But then, like, when it came out on DVD, I was like, I gotta have the DVD, and it's still sealed. Like, I just...
You just can't go back?
Yeah, I was like,
I can't tell you how many times I've watched those movies.
I've seen the first one multiple times, but the second and third one, I mean, there's like fewer each for each movie.
Two Towers is...
The third one was okay, I guess. I mean, I read the books too, so I know, I understand the story, I understand the limitations of the book, I understand all this
stuff. Have you watched the extended version with the commentary?
Yeah, unfortunately, that was the DVD I got. So much. I've taken in so much, I got sobered out. Like, the games and everything, I don't know. Like, I'm good on Lord of the Rings for a while. Mm. I'm not knocking the movies.
No. Like, I'm
saturated.
I mean, it's crazy to me that those movies came out 15 years ago to begin with. They started coming out 15 years ago, which is nuts. 16 years, I guess, at this point. 2001.
They still hold up visually, too.
They hold up visually. Like, I don't know that there has been a better adaptation, and I don't know that there has been a better medieval fantasy or fantasy movie made since then. I mean, I don't think there is. I mean, I think that's...
You mean like a book adaptation?
Book adaptation. I mean, that's what I was going with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Something at scale.
That scale, sure, maybe. I mean,
you can't argue with me.
Well, I know. I'm just thinking, like,
you can't come up with anything.
I don't know. People have different opinions on like how the Harry Potter ones held up. I don't think they're particularly
seven of those
movies. But I mean, God, there could have been seven Lord of the Rings movies. There actually probably should have been.
You're right.
I could see some different opinion. I don't think anybody's saying it's bad, though. It's definitely not.
I'm not arguing that someone's saying it's bad. I'm saying it's the best. That's my argument.
I don't know. Well, I mean, what else is it running against?
That's what I'm saying. Nothing. I mean, there's been a lot of shit. There's been a lot of, like, The Seventh Son, and there's been, like, a fucking, what's that dragon book?
Aragorn?
Aragorn.
Yeah, that's shit.
Like, I mean, there's been a lot of attempts. Percy Jackson and the Olympians. There's been a lot of attempts.
Who cares about that? I mean, you're probably right. I don't know that it's had anything to run against.
I think there's been value.
Nothing. I mean, of that scale, it's a behemoth.
I mean, The Hobbit.
They're still making fucking video games riffing off Lord of the Rings.
That's crazy. That's crazy. That specific adaptation.
Yeah, The Hobbit was terrible. All of them.
Yeah. Bad. I mean, I liked being in that world again.
Again, fun movies, but to me...
No impact.
No impact. It's like not even that memorable. A lot of it wasn't. It was, a lot of it was just like... It seemed like filler.
Yeah.
Like, let's fill in 3 hours so that we can make our three movies. And it just felt like also... Yeah. They wanted to make three movies.
They did.
And it seemed very obvious at times.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, here's 12 minutes of elves passing bread around, or dwarves passing bread around the table. Do I really need this?
Yeah.
There were some solid scenes, though, like the scene with Smaug.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they handled him really well.
I agree. And I liked the character of Thorin in the first movie. In the second movie, I thought, like, he just completely shifted, like...
Yeah, like, darker and sour?
Well, he just became, like, an obstinate prick. In the first one, he was just, like, this guy on this journey of self-discovery and...
Reasonable but skeptical.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, I like this. You're kind of the reluctant hero in a way. You're kind of feeling that Aragorn role a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you turn into a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just felt like that shift was unrealistic. I know it's good for character development, but I just felt it was unrealistic.
It had been years since I read the book, so I can't really speak to how it compares.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed.
Agreed. What are some small movies that you like on, like, a much smaller scale with, like, fewer moving parts?
I love a lot of Wes Anderson movies.
Okay. Yeah, those are very small.
Bottle Rocket.
Budget-wise, yeah.
Yeah. And they're so small budget-wise, you almost... feel like it was all shot behind a Denny's.
Yeah.
Especially Bottle Rocket.
Yeah, Bottle Rocket for sure.
Very, very well could have been. Also saw what's the one he's got with Wes Anderson? It's fairly recent. Has kids are the focal point.
Oh, Moonrise Kingdom?
Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet.
They're all just kind of cute and kind of zany, and I don't know, I appreciate that.
Sure.
It kind of, I feel like the way he kind of can shape a world, like, it's still our world.
Mm-hmm.
But he makes me pay attention to things I would never
gotcha.
Really focus on. I don't know. He's a good eye.
He's one of those people, his movies I laugh at a lot. Royal Tenenbaums I thought was okay, but like Darjeeling Limited and Grand Budapest Hotel, I thought those movies were hysterical.
I actually haven't watched those. I've not seen a ton of Wes Anderson, but what I've seen I really liked.
They're good. They're good. You should watch them. Yeah. I have Grand Budapest Hotel. I should bring it over.
I'd love to.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Please bring it. Yeah, hilarious. I've been wanting to
watch beautifully it. Beautifully shot. Shot in 4x3, so it's a little unique.
Yeah.
Beautiful set design. Ralph Fiennes is hilarious in it. Great cast. Yeah, good movie.
Cool. Good movie. Yeah, I would like to watch it. There is a somewhat of a horror film that I think is under a lot of people's radar. I thought was great. But I can't remember the name of it.
Give me some elements. Maybe I can help you.
These people go on vacation and they stay at this house.
Funny Games?
Funny Games.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a mind bender. That's a good
yeah.
one.
Yeah. That's very violent.
Yeah. Very, it's extremely violent.
Very violent. Yeah.
But it breaks the fourth wall a little bit.
Yeah.
The characters are so good. Those actors are really good. And that's actually, he was in Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, the guy from Funny Games.
Can't remember his name.
Yeah, I mean, it's something.
But he's like on the border of like no nameness. That almost like if you were popular, it would ruin all of his characters.
Sure.
So the fact that he's always like, when I see him, I'm like, oh shit, it's the creepy guy.
It's the guy.
I get kind of excited because nice. I just like the way he carries himself in film. Like as a story, I like it more when it's like the hero stories are fine, but. We've talked about this in the past, and this is more of a story thing for me than a movie thing.
Okay.
But the open and closed, open versus closed magic.
Right.
And so I have that issue a lot in superhero movies where I just kind of have to take it for what it's worth. Like, you can fly. It's not explained why or how. And right. I have a strong science background. Actually, I didn't like Star Wars as a kid. Don't hate me. I didn't like it as a kid. I only like things that were based in realism. Like if something was... It's got flying dudes in it and aliens. I was like, it's fucking not real. It's whatever. Like, I was not humbugged at all. Like, it's not that I didn't have an imagination. It was like, my imagination was my own. And when other people imagine things, I was like, that's just stupid.
That's just your imagination.
Like, yeah. My
grounded look, I guess.
I guess, yeah. Like, I had to kind of grow into imaginative film.
Interesting.
In a way. Like, I still liked, you know, things like Never Ending Story, which makes no fucking sense, right? But
right.
But, you know, Star Wars was just weird to me as a kid. I like it now. And, you know, I watched it when I was a little bit older. Like, everybody I knew watched it and liked it when they were 7.
Right.
And I'm, like, 16 and was like, oh, it's actually decent. I really like those characters.
Yeah. Yeah. Star Wars is one of those things, man. I fucking love it. And I know a lot about it. Not to the level of some of my friends. Some of my friends just, like, they'll start talking to me, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, they just know so many details and so many mm-hmm. side characters and origins and all the little flavor text in the world. And, like, some of it I know. Like, I know some of the names of the little characters that show up on screen for 3 seconds. You know, I know their background. Like, I know that some of that shit. But what I love about the Star Wars worlds is they are that they just kind of hit the sweet spot of... You know, sort of the used future and the Hero of a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell, like those whole elements of just here's a strong set of archetypes that you know going in. Like, here's the hero, here's the princess, here's the scoundrel, here's the bad guy. And you kind of understand that these are the players in the story, but that doesn't, you know, take the front seat to the world and the struggle. And I think it still holds up.
Didn't watch it when or fall in love with it. At an age that made me love it so hard as some people. Mm. Like, sometimes I struggle to wonder why people love it so much. Like, I like it. Like, I think it's cool. Mm. Some people are fucking bonkers over some Star Wars. Yeah. And I don't hate it. Like, I'm bonkers over shit, too. I love anything that can make me feel that way. So I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah.
Like, new Star Wars movie comes out. People are like, oh, my God, Star Wars. And I'm like... Yeah, that's another $18 I get to blow at a theater. It's kind of how I look at it. Like, I gotta fucking watch this so I can hang out with my friends. But I do enjoy them. I'm not saying I don't. I really do. But I definitely don't. I'm not as into it as some other people.
I mean,
they hate me for it.
I don't hate
like,
you for it.
Brian will bust out a Star Wars quote, and I'm like,
I mean, I, to be fair, I've done that to you in the past.
I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's from. And then you tell me, I'm like, oh, I kind of remember that part. It was fun. Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't remember. I'm also just bad with quotes in general.
I like Star Wars. I like Star Trek, too. Were you ever Trek fan? Was that grounded enough for you, science enough?
Nice
frame of reference. Did you watch the movies, show?
No, I skipped over those. Okay. But guy at work, I trust all his shit. Like, anything he's recommended to me, I've watched. Anything I've recommended to him, he's watched. So he's like my geeky dealer.
Oh, nice.
He's really back alley about it, too, because he'll, come up to me and be like, hey, have you seen this? And I'm like, no. Have you seen previews for this? And he's like, no. And then a month later, we'll meet and be like, I saw the thing you said. He's like, I saw the thing you said. And it's like, it was great. So he was telling me, he's like, I was like, listen, I don't know how and where to get into Star Trek. Like, people are pulling me in different directions. I trust you. What should I do? And he was like, honestly, if you don't want to get too bored, if you want to get in there quick and learn, he's like,
curious.
He's like, you want to get that next generation. He's like, that's the one where most of the pop culture is going to be. He's like, watch a season of that at least. And he's like, but I tell you, some of my favorite ones. He's like, he's explaining to me the premise of like Deep Space Nine, that kind of thing. And that, that sounded like more interesting. But he's like, you want to cut your teeth on these. Like these are the. Don't watch the real old ones. He's like, they were hard for me to watch. Like, it's like, I love them, but I'm from that time. Like, you don't want to go there. He's like, these are the ones you want. And so I did. I watched like a whole season, and I was like, I basically get the recipe.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, I see how this is kind of works. So
it's wagon trains in space.
Yeah, and it was kind of fun. Yeah. And I didn't feel like I had to keep going with it, but I got it. Now I know the characters. Now I know, anytime someone talks about this person, I know what they're talking about. And then that was great. I was like, oh, that was a good idea.
Yeah.
But there are a few of the offshoots, like Deep Space Nine, that I would want to touch on.
DS9 is a good series.
I really like the premise. Like, he just explained to me. I was like, that sounds titty AF.
Yeah, it is. It is good. Like, I never really got into Voyager, and I never watched Enterprise. I heard Enterprise was, I heard, Voyager was good. I just, for some reason, never had access to it, but never did. But I watched DS9 when it was on TV when I was very young. My dad was a big fan of the original series, so he encouraged me to watch those when I could. And I love the original cast, the Kirk, Spock, McCoy triangle of, here's a leader and here's passion and here's logic and the guy trying to balance the two. Mm-hmm. And I love that formula and I love those characters. And like even all the movies from the original cast, like 1 through 6, I think are okay. I mean, 5's the obvious weak spot, but some great movies, great performances.
Yeah.
Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, which is the one that I think I brought up at the beginning of the movie, was the best. So good. Ricardo Montalban is this eugenically... a hero of the eugenics wars that happened on Earth at some point in the past. And he's like this pirate captain who takes over a starship. And him and Captain Kirk have this very Moby Dick-esque... battle against each other in space. It's fantastic.
Cool.
It's a great battle.
Well, we'll say if anyone out there is like, man, let's do some Next Generation, skip the pilot. It was so bad.
Oh, yeah, the pilot's not good.
I think it might go down in history as being one of the worst pilots ever.
I think it's about Mission to Farpoint or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's so bad.
It's so campy. Like, it's so campy.
It's really bad.
You can tell that like there's a big gap between the pilot and the actual production of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge gap.
In terms of money and time. And effort.
Yeah, effort, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I was much older before I got into sci-fi and fantasy. Like, as a kid, I was like, give me my Forensic Files, give me CSI, give me Murder, She Wrote, give me my dad's Matlock, I want Columbo, I want Rockford Files. I was watching that shit.
That's cool.
Like crime drama, man. Beverly Hills, Hill Street Blues,
I never watched that show, but I heard good things about it. Like, it was way ahead of its time in terms of character development and the way it was shot and everything. It's
and In the Heat of the Night.
Yeah, In the Heat of the Night, I watched the show.
Classic.
Some Turbo of the best Connor, shit. Bubba.
Some of the best shit. Some of the best shit. A lot of racial struggle, too, that's just... Man.
Because like, they grab it. In Mississippi.
Yeah, they grab it by the horns, man.
Loved it.
Yeah, it's really good. I loved it so much. But I wasn't into... It's odd, I just wasn't into... movies the kids my age were into.
Yeah.
Had old parents, man. Old parents didn't encourage me to watch kid things.
I think it's definitely a generational thing. I feel like, I guess maybe the parents of the baby boomers, whatever that generation is, they like didn't care for the, you know, non-grounded, non-realistic things. In my experience, it's the generation that came after that that was like grew up in the '70s. It was like, yeah, man, let's read some comics and watch some Star Trek like that. I feel like that's sort of what happened.
Yeah, well, see, evidently, my mom one time said, "Now your daddy used to watch a little bit of Star Trek," and I was like, "Bullshit! Like, there's no way." And I actually should bring it up because all my dad's ever watched since I've known him is Westerns. Mm. He won't even watch, like, it doesn't matter if it's got sci-fi elements in it or not. If it's even made, if it's like a modern crime drama, it's like too new for him. Like, he doesn't, blah, 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 blah. It's got to be a Western. It has to be based in the 1800s, early 1900s. There has to be some damsel in distress or some bull that got away.
And, some fight over a land.
Yeah, some fight over a land or some guy wronged some other guy. And got to avenge his daddy's death. Like, that's all it is. Over, like, there's only so many stories you can write.
It's true.
And he's watched them all, and he's an encyclopedia of knowledge for movies in that era. Like, you know, I was talking to you today how I manage his Netflix account.
Right.
And I'm adding movies, and I'm like, "Dad, have you seen this?" Because, he doesn't use the internet all that much. And so I'm trying to, get it for him. And I'm like, "Oh, you've seen that? What do you rate it?" He goes, "That's a 3-star. I'm like, "Okay, that's a 3-star. That's a 3-star. I'm like, "Have you seen this?" And he was like, "I think so. Was it 1963? I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, lists all the actors, and he goes, "It's about a bull, isn't it?" And at the top it says, "Guy's bull gets away," or whatever. I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "No, I don't think I've seen it." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, I remember hearing about it." I was like, "Okay, I'll get it for you."
That's fantastic.
He's like an encyclopedia for that kind of thing, and it's really bizarre.
Now he's a John Wayne man, right?
Huge John Wayne fan.
John Wayne guy. I feel like there's two types of people like Westerns. There's your John Waynes and there's your Clint Eastwoods. I feel like there's two sides to that.
It's almost like
it's generational, I think.
Yeah, a little bit of two eras. He's okay with Clint Eastwood movies. Mm. I don't think he likes Clint Eastwood as a dude.
No.
But he some of the movies he thinks are okay.
Sure.
But he only the Westerns. Like, I don't think he much cared for Harry Callahan or anything like that. Yeah. Not much cared for it. Like, I think he thought they were okay, but he's going to double down with those Westerns.
Sure.
Like, he wants the good, the bad, the ugly.
I mean, Dirty Harry's a modern Western, so that's understandable. But Clint Eastwood play the role, but also why you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pale Rider, I think he thinks is okay.
Pale Rider is so fucking good. Pale Rider, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, a few dollars more, fistful of dollars. Damn, hang him high.
Yeah.
Give them to me, man. Love Clint Eastwood Westerns. I do. I watched them all.
Yeah.
Well, most of them. I don't think there's one that I've actually missed, except maybe Paint Your Wagon, which is a musical, and I don't really care to see that.
Well, it's because you're a snob.
I like musicals. I just don't want to see Clint Eastwood music.
You know, my dad has seen every John Wayne movie ever made. He has all of them on multiple formats. He has them on VHS and DVD.
Fantastic.
And also, the local gas station downtown had a cutout of the Duke.
Mm.
And, standing there with some Coors Light, the Duke, and my dad goes in to buy his beverage of choice, and sees that Duke standing there, and goes and tells the lady, he goes, "Hey, go get rid of that John Wayne thing. Can I have it?" And they were like, "Sure, yeah, that's fine." So they got ready to get rid of it, and he left them his number, and they called. This was like in the 90s. He goes in there and gets it still in his garage today, and of course he taped the box of the beer he likes over top of the Coors.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
You're like, "The Duke don't like Coors." Okay, Dad. Cool. Hey, old girl.
Funny story that kind of relates to that is back in 2005, when Star Wars Episode 3 came out, Pepsi had a partnership with Star Wars to advertise a product on their cans, their merchandise, etc.
Uh-huh.
I happen to know.
I had all of those.
Cool. Very cool. I happen to know the local Pepsi sales rep, and I worked at a grocery store, and they came in and set up this 6-foot standee of Darth Vader and like a 6-foot standee of Yoda, which I know he's not 6 feet tall, but that was how tall it was. So they come in and they're sitting up, and I'm looking at these things. I'm like, "I don't really like these things." So I tell them, I'm like, "Hey buddy, when you're ready to take these down, I'll take these if that's okay." He's like, "Well, I'll see what I can do." So I came in one day and he was like, "I'm taking these down. Get them out of here." Like, I don't think I was supposed to have them, but I still have them to this day.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so they're like 6 feet tall, and it's like, Darth Vader and Yoda and from 2005, and like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't even think I'd watched any of those movies at that point and had all those cans.
Mm.
I just thought they were cool. I think I missed Sebulba for a long time and ended up finding, but they all exploded in the cabinet where my mom was keeping them. They got hot or something.
Yeah.
But
what I love is that they just put like these random ass characters on there. Like a lot of times they were like in the movie and had like a line, but they were still in the can.
Yeah. It was like, there's
like Captain Tanaka in fucking episode one. Was like, you got a line, buddy. And you're on screen for like 3 minutes.
But he's got a can. He's got a can.
Congrats. Yeah. Uh-huh. I forgot about those things until you brought that up. Because they're in my house.
Yeah, like, I should actually look for those cans, because I think a couple of them exploded, but I think my mom was like, you want me to keep the can? I was like, sure.
Yeah, why not?
So she just wiped it off and stuck it back in there.
That's awesome.
Ready for next share?
Let's do it.
All right.
Share number three.
Share number three is lengthy,
but
entrenched in sweet, sweet drama.
We like drama. We're like TNT. We know drama.
We know drama. All right. Here's a story from a listener who wishes to remain anonymous. The names, locations, and dates of this story have all been changed to protect the privacy of those involved. Our anonymous writer writes, my fiance and I were getting ready to make a cross-country move a few years back. We had a little one-bedroom apartment and not that much stuff. So I thought. But somehow, we still wound up renting a U-Haul to make the cross-country trek to a far-off big city. My wife had been born and raised in the same town, went to the college in said town, and had never dreamed of moving away until she met me. But over the course of a few months, we had made a couple of visits to our soon-to-be big city home, picked out our apartment, gotten a job for me, settled her grad school future for her, and away we went. I picked up the U-Haul, and we packed our stuff in it. One downside to having a much bigger U-Haul than necessary for your moving needs is that you don't really have the incentive to carefully pack and organize everything, because you can just start tossing stuff in there if you're feeling lazy or you're short on time. Given the fact that we are both people motivated by deadlines rather than to-do lists, there was a lot of tossing stuff in the back of the U-Haul and hoping things didn't break. Well, the drive to big city living was boring, aside from the fact that we had some fur babies trying to murder us by deciding my feet and the gas and brake pedals were the best places to hang out on a 10-hour-plus trek. We managed to survive the trip, which included an overnight stay at a motel in the middle of nowhere that was not occupied by psychopaths or goblins, thank God. The next morning, we got up early and arrived at our soon-to-be home in big city living. We got to our apartment building and I parallel parked a U-Haul in front of that building. I'd like to say that again. I parallel parked a U-Haul in big city living in front of our apartment building. Our realtor lady was there ready to cash in on her commission. She had told us to meet her at the building at 10 a.m. It was 10 a.m. She then told us, golly gee guys, but big city living overlords don't actually leave their posh executive offices, so you need to trek to the other side of the big city living to their office. This is after he already parked the U-Haul. Goddamn. By the way, it's pre-internet or phone, so I'm going to give you directions that don't mean anything to you because you have no idea what these landmarks are, yes. But hey, have fun. I got back to my parallel parked U-Haul and pulled into gear, driving across big city living, not scared of tunnels, bridges, kamikaze cabbies, and other obstacles that belong in Crazy Taxi. I get to Overlord Executive's office where I have to parallel park my U-Haul on a 45% sloping hill for a second time. Whatever. I did that too. I'm a boss man now. Feeling ready to claim my rightful place in big city living, the real boss, my fiancé, marches right up to the Overlord's throne room and demands our keys ASAP, but concedes that we must first sign every page of the Articles of the Confederation, Declaration of Independence, and Magna Carta before giving over the rights of any future children, mutated kittens, and a 2 months deposit to have the right to be in big city living overpriced bullshit apartment building. Well, we get our keys, and we have to drive back to Big City Living apartment building under the river and through the woods to building house we go. We get back to the building, and I see a familiar face. It's my fiancé's great-aunt, Aunt Sally, who lives in Big City with my fiancé's great-uncle, Uncle Donnie. Well, Sally enjoys Big City Living and was proud as a peach that someone else was escaping country bumpkin land to glam it up with the intellectuals and other folks worthy of breathing air. Anyway, Aunt Sally was there to do what she does best, micromanage, and tell other people how to better do things they are perfectly capable of handling on their own. And Sally starts directing our efforts to unpack the U-Haul, which, yeah, snooze. I parallel park in Big City Living Street again. Again, snore. I'm awesome. Aunt Sally would say, oh, you whippersnappers, take this up first because you don't want to be all sweaty carrying up your wedding gift china. Aunt Sally is also loaded. Uncle Donnie had a grand old career and was retired from ivory tower profession, but no, he wasn't the source of Aunt Sally's wealth. It was Aunt Sally's daddy who had gone to ultra-famous business school. Trust me, everyone who lives in Big City knows that Aunt Sally's dad went to ultra-famous business school because she won't ever forget to tell you five fucking times in the same conversation.
Oh, dear great-nephew, I hear you got a job at wherever agency. That's so nice. Did you know that when my dad was a royal overlord at this agency, because he went to ultra-famous business school, he ran such-and-such division and made $80 gazillion? Imagine listening to that every time she's not busy telling you what you're about to try to do next is wrong, because you're not doing it how she wants you to do. So anyway, there we are, unloading our stuff from the U-Haul in a hot August day. It's sweaty, it's hot. It feels like I'm stuck in Zangief's jockstrap while he's gator hunting in the Amazon. And what does Aunt Sally decide to do in between hailing random people to carry up a sofa to our apartment for $50? I actually kind of appreciated that. Aunt Sally decides it's a good idea to get out of the sun and go into the U-Haul and organize things for us that we should be carrying up next while she asks for refills of ice water that's been running through a Brita filter from the bathroom sink. Not the kitchen sink. For the love of God, not the kitchen sink. Remember when I said we were both lazy and pressed for time in packing? Well, the net result of that is that we had started just tossing our personal items wherever they would land. Laundry baskets, chairs, the floor of the U-Haul, wherever. So, one of these times I'm making my trip back to the U-Haul that is so perfectly parallel parked in Big City, I am walking up the ramp to the U-Haul and I stop. I just stop. Because in front of my very eyes I see dear old Aunt Sally. And she's got my fiancé's purple dildo. And Aunt Sally is waving it around like a lightsaber in her hand. I walk up to her and she looks at me and asks me with a straight face, "What is this?" I take the lightsaber dildo from her, say, "Don't worry, it's nothing," and grab something else and immediately start walking back to Big City apartment building. I walk through the front door saying to myself, "God, Aunt Sally looks so stupid waving that dildo around like a lightsaber," unaware of the fact that as I'm thinking this, I'm also starting to wave the big, huge purple dildo, much like a lightsaber. I'm waiting for the elevator to open up so I can get to my new urban hipster apartment and tell fiancé how ridiculous Aunt Sally looked waving that big purple dildo lightsaber, when naturally, the door to the elevator opens and out come all of my new neighbors on my floor who get a view of me waving my fiancé's purple dildo like a lightsaber. Big City Living 101. Pack the sex toys in a box.
Love it. Love it.
Fantastic. I love the flavor text. I love the context. I love the metaphors. Mm-hmm. Most of all, I love that someone, unbeknown to them, was waving around a dildo.
Their dildo. Their beloved purple That's dildo.
Fantastic.
Yeah, man. Well, first of all, do you have an Aunt Sally? Do you have a an aunt or a relative who's just better than you and remind you?
Yeah, I definitely have one. Mm. Definitely have one.
Yeah.
I don't like her.
You don't like her?
Yeah. Actually, she may be dead. I don't know.
I actually don't. I came out okay in regard to most of my family. I'm not saying I'm better than them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I came out okay.
Yeah.
I don't have that. That's
no,
good.
She, my, this aunt and her husband, who is, I know for sure, deceased, they bettered themselves, which is fine.
Hmm.
But they sort of did flaunt it a lot. Like, they own several small businesses in a city, and he retired from a military contractor job. And, like, they were in their 70s, and they started building another house. And that's why I'm like, I feel like your vanity's gotten in the way a little bit.
Right.
So, yeah.
What? How? When you imagine her waving a dildo, how does that make you?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because she's extremely religious.
So that's a good point. That's a very good point. Moving wise, what was the last time you moved?
About 9 years ago. Thank God.
Yeah, I moved a few times, and while, gosh, I have no story that can hold a candle to purple dildos being left behind and found, I have moved. I have moved. Nothing exciting. I mean, the most drama I had was just getting my cat not to throw up. Because he and I have moved a few times. And we're bros. He's the longest relationship I've had. Like, by far.
That's fantastic.
Like, I've been with that fella for 8 years. We moved a lot. Every time he's just like, "Why, though?" So we had a nice place up there, man. I had the cat box. You had that little small kitchen. Yeah, we had those cockroaches. I like that. Like, there's just that aspect, but no, nothing cool. Nothing cool happened moving wise. No, I've not even moved far. Like, I moved like 20 minutes out of whack.
Gotcha.
In my life, I've not done a big cross country
thing. Yeah, gotcha.
But you traveled a lot growing up.
Yeah, I moved constantly. constantly. Mm-hmm. Like from birth until 9, I lived in 13 different distinct cities in 5 different states. And sometimes multiple dwellings within that city.
Now, most people would say, yeah, your dad was military.
Right, but he wasn't. So fuck off. Kidding.
No. But people wouldn't naturally think that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first thing people say when you tell them that. You're a military brat.
Like, even though you're only reassigned every 2 years in military, and if I tell you I was lived in 13 places from birth to 9, you should be able to do the simple math and realize that, no, that's not what happened.
Or they're like, your dad was a serial killer or a salesman.
Right. Sometimes the salesman part. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
I never get the serial killer question.
Oh, that was just me?
That was just you. Okay. That was just you. I mean, maybe. Maybe I just haven't found the bodies yet, or maybe he got away with it.
So your family was, you know, on the lam all the time.
Yeah, just constantly on the lam. Yeah, I moved a lot, and I don't really have any memorable experiences with it, honestly. Like, the actual
just life.
Moving. Yeah, because, I mean, it just became a way of life. It's like, oh, here we go. All right, it's cool. You know, it was just sort of how it became, you know. I think we only had, like, assistance moving maybe one time, and that was actually a job relocation that was fairly local, but the business that my dad worked for hired movers, and they just moved everything for us, and that was fantastic, because literally every at the time, it was, you know, backbreaking work, and, you know, I was just a kid, but I still had to, you know, pull my weight and all that shit, so, yeah.
How are you at parallel parking a U-Haul?
I'm not good. I'm not good at parallel parking anything.
I actually have a funny story about parallel parking.
Well, hit me.
I mean, it's not related. It wasn't like a related movie. When I was getting my, I was doing my driver's ed in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's three people. You're in the car. With, oh, and the way my high school did it, you're in the car with three people whose birthdays are close to yours. And you all do a driver's ed at the same time. And our driver's ed teacher had the memory of a dead goldfish. And so every time we got in the car, he thought it was our first time. He'd be like, hi, my name is... And like, I told you about this guy a little bit.
Remember? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, always look in the back seat of the car. There might be somebody in there. Check the tire pressure. Do a couple laps around the car before you get in. Like, who's fucking doing that? So, anyway, I mean, he's got to tell you that. So, we get in for, like, the fourth time with him, and he's like, hi, my name's Arnold. And, like, we know. This is our fourth... I hope we're getting credit for this. This is our fourth time with you. And so he's like, okay, whatever. And one of my buddies is driving us. Two of us are in the back seat. He's the driver instructor's in the passenger side. And we take off, and we're driving. And we go to the big town next to us, which is the only place where I had ever seen parallel parking growing up. Mm. Because most of the cities and towns have parking lots.
Right.
Or if you wanted to parallel park, you could, but there was ample parking elsewhere. Well, we're going to learn how to parallel park today. And he just sprung it on us.
Woo. And I didn't have to do that my driving test, thank God.
Yeah, so we get headed down. And he's not very clear in his instructions ever. So we're like in line at a stoplight. And he goes, at this light, I want you to parallel park over there. So my buddy's like, okay. So the light turns green. The traffic leaks through. We get to the intersection. He just parallel parks right in the intersection. And as he's like going, like I can see cars aren't sure what's going on. And even my buddy driving's like, that's what you said. The driving instructor like is like right there, and he slams on the brakes, and like we all lurch forward and snap our necks, and we're like Jesus. And he's like, I didn't say here. I said on the other side of the intersection, right there. He's like, whatever. Let's just get out of here. So we go. Well, I don't remember how the rest of that day turns out, but like a week later, we get to drive with him again.
Nice.
And we get in the car with him, and he's like, hi, I'm Arnold. And we're like, this is our fifth time with you. And he's like, he goes, yeah, I need you fellas to drive me to the chiropractor down in Abingdon. Some jackasses I had last week tried to parallel park an intersection. I had to hit the brake and hurt my neck. He's like, you guys wouldn't do that to me, would you? And it almost sounds like he's ribbing us, but this guy has no idea who we are. He still thinks it's our first day again.
That's fantastic.
So we drive down there, and one of us has to parallel park in front of the chiropractor. It's so ironic. And we're in there, like... you're only in there for the amount of time you have class. And we waited for him for like 2.5 hours in the car. Like, so I guess I'm missing third period.
Ouch.
And he didn't care. He came back and he was like, yeah, stupid place anyway. So we've touched it all. So what are we going to do next time?
What are we going to do? I don't know.
I don't know. I think we need to save. We have a concert one that's 2 months from now. I think that'd be better if it were. So what are we going to do for May? Injuries.
Injuries. Best injuries. All right. What's your best injury?
Have you ever been injured?
This sounds like we're chasing ambulances.
If so, please call Calvis and Ackman on the Heartline right now. Do they have Calvis and Ackman everywhere?
I don't know.
Call Calvis and Ackman if you have sucked in asbestos.
Or mesothelioma. Also, Robert Vaughn died. So
the guy that does those commercials?
Yeah.
When did he die?
I don't know, last year sometime.
Were you injured? How serious was it? Tell us, please. Send us an email at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. You can also DM us on Twitter at polykill. You can chat with us individually. I'm at Track Plays Games.
I'm at the McAxel.
You can find us on polykill.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can read.
And also cartridgeclub.org, short for organism.
Sure, yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. This has been another
quality episode.
Quality audio episode. And maybe not a bad video one either. I don't know.
We'll see.
Peace.